Well, today we're beginning a new series, and I've entitled it a four week, I think, entitled How to Think. And the subtitle today is Think Again. I love it when this happens. Yesterday in my devotional, my read through the Bible in 1 year, Nikki Gumbel is what I'm using now. But I love it because the devotional was specifically on the day before I was going to preach this message, it was specifically on what we're talking about today. And I really love that. One of the lines that caught me, and I may not always quote it exactly, but he challenged in the middle of that devotional, and that this is where we're going today. It's time for all of us to start thinking about what we think about. Think again. Because sometimes I think we just in the idle zone, and no, we want to focus in on what we're spending our time on, what we're really thinking about, what we're focusing in. So, yes, how to think. This message series is not, absolutely not, capital letters I put about the power of positive thinking. No, that's not what it is. You could hear that in any place, a secular topic delivered. But these messages will be about this, the transforming power of biblical thinking. I jotted this down under that phrase because I believe we need, desperately need in these days, a biblical truth-centered worldview. If we don't have a true north, we're lost. You follow what I'm saying? True north never changes. We must have a biblical truth-centered worldview. Well, back to this battle of the mind. So much has been written about it by so many great authors and speakers, but this mind battle, as I often refer, it really comes down to the difference between our want to and our feel like it. We want to trust God. We want to be full of God confidence, but we often feel like we can't let go of control, and by doing so, we're really doubting God. Here's a human reality, the human reality, I would say. A pattern and progression. Thoughts create attitudes. Attitudes produce words, and words lead to actions. The battles of life rage in the mind. In the heart, in the mind. That's what we want to center on today. Luke 6:45, we find this positive word. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Does anybody believe that to be true? It's, have you ever found pulling from something that is in you, like we talked about God's word being in you, and even though you think it's dormant, it's there and it's working, and many years later, after it's been put within you, it could come up, it could blossom and bloom at just the right time. But it goes on, then it says, and an evil man, because there is good and there is evil. I said a couple Sundays ago, there's right, there's wrong, and then there's evil, and violence always comes from the direction of evil. If you remember that, evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in the heart. The heart is the issue. Oh my, listen to what this finishes. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So don't say you didn't mean it when you say it. Did you ever hear that? I didn't mean it. Well, if you didn't mean it, why'd you say it? Because you thought it. It was in your heart. And that's why you say it. Let's take great care here. What I'm trying to present in this little series is that our lives tend to unfold from the direction of our thought patterns. And when I'm really using thought and heart interchangeably here, like that fusion. Because I believe that our heart and our thoughts create our lives. Wherever you are today, the root of it is in your heart and in your mind. No matter where, if it's a positive place or a negative place. But regardless of where any of us weigh in this room or online today, here's the good news. God's word in us. Could at least one person say, in us? How about this, in me? God's word in us is powerful to renew and transform our minds and therefore our lives. Our lives will never be transformed until our heart and thoughts are totally captivated by Almighty God. We read so much in God's word about Paul, who was the Apostle Paul, who was a truly amazing person. And I love it because he was so candid in his writings. And you could see, and I was reading different passages this week, that you could see his growth progress. It was unending. And he was writing, and we'll read scriptures that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write, that he learned how to wage war and do battle against the lies. Listen to me, lies suggested and planted by the enemy. I believe this with all my heart. The enemy knows us, and he tries to plant things and then blame them on us. Let's read it, what he wrote. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though, it's a fact, all of us, though we live in the world, right? The Bible says that's good. We live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. The only way not to be of the world is where we allow our minds and our hearts to focus and dwell. Agreed? If we don't, the world is going to be in us. We're going to be full of it, and it's never good. The world, that is. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Like revenge, retaliation, violence, whatever the case may be. On the contrary, they have divine power. Does anybody want to access divine power? They have divine power, these weapons we fight with, to demolish strongholds. We don't have to, he does. Do you understand it? We think we can demolish the strongholds. That's not up to us. That's Almighty God's power in us and through us. The weapons we fight with, it said again, have divine power. And this word represents the explosive, and I can't give enough adjectives to describe it, the explosive power of God that's available to us. And if there's a lack of that, we're living so far beneath our privilege, just limping along, just reacting to the things that life brings our way. Some of you have worked with dynamite, and you know about dynamite, but it has the power to blow up, to demolish fortresses and bunkers, and destroy strongholds. That's what that dynamite, that's a close comparison to the unlimited power of God. Dynamite's nothing compared to his explosive power. Well, this represents the battle for control of our thought life, our minds, our heart. These strongholds that I alluded to a moment ago are built upon deception and lies. The goal is to get us to embrace those thoughts and believe those lies, because those things shape our thinking and they shape our lives. Would you agree with that? You're a sum total today where you are of what you've been thinking about what you've been putting in. What's the old saying? Garbage in, garbage out. That's true in a spiritual sense. And for some of you, I mean, it calls God's character and nature into question. I mean, these kind of things that we hear all the time, they're so common. Like, you're never going to ... or you'll always be this, you'll never change. You'll never change. You'll never be this. God doesn't hear. God doesn't care. And on it goes. The only problem with those thoughts is that they're all lies. But our perception matters. I had an old pastor that used to say, if they're perceiving it, they're believing it. Boy, isn't that true in a spiritual sense? Well, this is how we fight our battles. Remember that little chorus? Here's how. God wants to radically change our hearts and minds, the ways we think. We stand and fight on the unchanging, unshakable truth of God's word that is always the same. That's our place to stand. Reading on, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. We demolish, I like that word, obliterate, I mean wipe out, demolish arguments and every pretension, the land of pretend, to make believe, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Is this speaking to our world right now or what? And we take those pretensions and all those things, those arguments, we take them captive. Every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ, who is the truth, the way, the truth, the way to life. His word is true. So I just wonder, online today, wherever you may be, is there anybody in the room today? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice, or who will be, who wants and needs to experience a mind renewal, I'm suggesting today that it's not just a one and done, but it's a constant cleansing stream, the renewal of our mind. Do you need a fresh God perspective? Or do you have a world perspective, a worldview that is truly minus God? You know, in our culture, there's so many warring religions of the world and forms of government. Be careful, because a lot of them are totally godless. Do you understand that? No God. We can never support that as truth. The direction of our thoughts tend to determine the direction and outcome of our lives. I'm here to stand on the authority of God's word and proclaim to you something I believe passionately with all my heart. God's word is true, but how in the world am I going to know whether or not it's true if it's not in me? Proverbs 23:7a, New King James. For as a man, a woman, a boy, a girl thinks in his heart, their heart, so is he, so is she, so we are. The battle is where? In our heart and in our mind. So I think I'm trying to say this strongly, that what we think about, what we focus on, what is buried in our heart, those thoughts really predict the lives we live. And probably your thoughts and your mindset is predicting the life you're living right now. I mean, you want to blame it on this person or that person, this, you know, that person that did you, whatever. But it's what we focus on. The life we have now reflects the thoughts we think, and thoughts have the power to create and shape our lives. That's why we're talking about little Lainey here, and the parents and family and friends, their power to help shape her little life. Has anybody found along with me that thoughts can be life-giving or they can be toxic? I don't know about you, but if I'm thinking and filling my mind with toxic things, I wake up with a bad taste in my mouth. Anybody else with me on that? You never feel good about focusing on toxic thoughts. Why do we do it? Because that's the natural state of man without God, allowing God to transform us from the inside out. We are so often transformed from the outside in, and that's what I call often circumstantialism. We let circumstances control what we think about. God's saying, no, circumstances come and go, but my word is true. It's always the same. Focus on me. Don't let go. Second Peter 1:3. His divine power, that explosive God power greater than dynamite, has given us everything we need for a godly life, yes, in this world and culture, through our knowledge of him. How are we going to get to know him? Through his word, the truth of his unchanging word, who called us by his own glory and goodness. It's saying you have been called. Wow. And I'm suggesting today that the focus should be not self-doubt or self-aggrandizement or whatever. It should be God confidence. Do you remember, does anybody remember when we had Alvin Slaughter for a couple of concerts back the other building? Anybody, was anybody there besides me? Man, the guy can sing. I pulled it out this week and was listening to his songs. One of my favorite, God Can. And the chorus came up something like this. I think I jotted some words down. The good news is now that since I've had my eyes fixed, I can read it, my own writing. Isn't that a good thing? I can hear him saying it. I heard him saying it just a moment ago in my office. You can do more than you could ever ask or think. He holds the power in his mighty hand. When you can't see your way, just remember this, my friend, God can. Whatever you're questioning today, whatever thing is in your mind, the answer is resoundingly, God can. Amen. It's really good that we can't, because if we could, we wouldn't need God. God can. He's saying, look to me, focus on me, let me make a difference in your life. Let my truth penetrate the darkness all around you. So where are you living today? Are you in the land of worry or peace? Because the Bible says we need to get busy casting, doesn't it? Our cares, our worries, cast our cares upon him. Because he cares for us. Are your thoughts focused on things negative or things positive? Where do your thoughts tend to drift at night when you awaken about 2 a.m.? And you return to bed from the restroom. Just thought I'd throw that in. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Your day will come. Are you focused on things temporary or things eternal or permanent? Man, if we do the first of the things that I mentioned, worry and negative and temporary things, no wonder we're going to be a mess. I remember being with Brooklyn Tabernacle years ago. I think it was after we came here. We went up for their Tuesday night prayer gathering, but the neat thing was we went up and we were able to join their staff for a prayer gathering in the basement, wherever that big building, wherever it was. And I'll never forget. I mean, there was just staff and their sister churches that they'd started as well. And I love it because Pastor Jim Cimbala just started out that song that I'd never heard it before. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the Father's whatever love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. That's the theme today. Let's think about what we think about. Let's think about the Father's love applied to our life and our situation right now. What difference does that make? It changes everything. It has explosive power, not to just destroy others, but to illuminate and to bring down those things within us that are lies planted. God can. What we think about, in my opening statement, comes back. What we think about truly matters. I think this too, and I want you to think about this. I've thought about it. I don't believe that we can travel in a negative direction with our heart and thoughts and end up with a positive difference-making life. Do you? We can't travel down the negative path and end up with a positive difference-making life, influencing people for Jesus. So could I ask you another question I asked you a little while ago? How do you honestly feel right now, honestly, transparently feel about the direction of your thoughts and about where they're taking you? Your heart and your treasure are the same place. Your heart and thoughts and treasure are one. So here it is. One of my favorite passages that I've spoken on so many times. But turning to Romans chapter 12, my whole family had to memorize that whole chapter because the World Youth Congress, and they had to know it. And that was the King James way, and I beseech you therefore, brethren, I can still hear them. I learned it through osmosis, you know. They were going over and over, and I go, yeah, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, present your bodies living sacrifice. I could do it, but I'm not going to now. But verse 2, listen, here's the key. God has done all that he has done on our behalf, but how many of you know we're called to action? And here it is, and the real action that we're to get involved in is this, palms up surrender. Verse 2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. What's wrong with them? They're self-reliant. They're looking everywhere but to the one God who can be the difference maker. They're thinking about everything and everyone except for God. That's the world we live in. Here's the kicker, but transition phrase. Let God transform you into a new person. Does anybody remember a time when God came into your heart and life and transformed you into a new person? And aren't you glad that wasn't just once upon a time, that it's still happening even now? Transforming you into a new person. How? Well, of course, by the blood of Jesus shed for us, he paid for all of our sins. And when we say yes to Jesus, he comes in and washes us clean. And then we walk it out because he transforms us by changing the ways we think. What we used to think, we no longer think because we want to align our thinking with the truth of God's word. Then, When you allow God, when you say yes to him, not just I give you my sin, but I surrender myself. When I say a big yes to you, I mean from the very depths of my being, from my toes all the way up. It's then that we will know. The Bible says you'll learn to know God's will for you. So without that surrender, without that yes, you're never really going to know what God's will for you is. But when you do and you allow him to start transforming your thinking, an unending process from now till we draw our first breath in heaven, then the Bible says you will learn to know God's will for you. We all want to know that which is good, pleasing, and perfect. How does that sound? Does that sound okay to you? God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect for all of us today. But to embrace it, we have to allow him to change us from the inside out, our heart and our thoughts. Wow. A new way of thinking. He wants to renew our minds with his unchanging truth. He doesn't want us to be locked up and bound with lies. He wants us to replace those lies with his truth. I believe in truth. Do you? It's one of our foundational principles of our church family, our vision, built upon truth. God, his word. When I read that scripture that I just read, here's what comes to mind. Here's my paraphrase of it. Changing our thinking will change our lives when God does it. When God does it. A new perspective. If any person, any creature be in Christ, you become a new creation. Old things are gone and new things have come. New things are coming, the Bible says. So let me give you a couple action points as we round the corner here. That means I'm almost done, but not quite. So I don't know. I'm not judging you. I'm not asking you to respond out loud, but in your heart of hearts today, in your thoughts and hearts, if you're all here, if you're here, say here. Okay. Remember last Sunday? What was last Sunday? Whatever. Go back and listen online. What is the first mindset or the lie, the foundational mindset that you need to face and deal with? I don't know what that is, but could you just, even as we close here in a moment, could you just kind of go palms up on your lap and say, Holy Spirit, I'm not going to try to figure this out. You bring to light what you see, what needs attention. In other words, to repeat it, what lie is keeping you locked up? I mean, it could be about others. It could be about yourself. And many times it is about us. We think that we never could, I mean, all those things that we've mentioned because of. The I'm never going to. I'm always going to. I'll always be or I'll never be. You can add. I mean, some of you have had these conversations with yourself over and over and over again. I'll never be free of this. I've tried so many times. Renewing our mind, allowing God to renew and to change our minds, that involves making new pathways in our mind and heart. And by doing so, we begin to live transformed. We begin to create those new paths of truth, and that's where freedom lies. And the Bible says in John 8:32, a clarion call, and you will know. When you allow God to begin changing your thinking, you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. You don't have to live in bondage anymore. It's not just God's word in us. It's God's word applied to our life, our situation, our family, to our everything. Some of you need to start Googling God's word. You know? You Google it to find everything else. I don't know how to do this. Google God's word. See what his word has to say about. Our part. Allowing God to transform us from the inside out to change our thinking. I love this translation of 1 Timothy 4:7b where it says, this is our part. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. In other words, God's not going to change our thinking without our agreement, without our effort, without our surrender. You follow me? I'm just waiting for God to do it. I'm going to think this and think this and think this. God, just change my thought pattern. No, it's in the surrender that he gets hold of our heart and minds when he starts redirecting our thoughts on things that are higher and better, as Andrew prayed a little bit ago, Pastor Andrew. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Sometimes I think the thinking processes that we've been engaged in for so long in our lives are so negative and they're so toxic that they're just like ruts in our lives, and they're holding us down, and they're perceptions that are not true. I went back to see the story. I think probably a lot of us have heard about, supposedly when elephants are real little, baby elephants, and you know, they come out huge, as we know, but they take them and whatever, in the training process, they drive a huge stake into the ground, or I don't know how they ground it, and they put a chain around their ankle, and those little elephants try to pull away, and yank away, they can't. And finally, after numerous tries, they just give up. And they say that when elephants become of age, whatever their of age might be, and we have heard, I don't know if you have, that elephants aren't necessarily that smart, but they have a long memory. Have you ever heard that or read that? So they remember, when I was little, I wore myself out trying to pull this, and I couldn't get free, so to give up. And they just stay in a place. They don't even have to be chained to a stake. That chain doesn't even have to be on a stake. Does that represent how some of us are in our thought life, where our minds and hearts are? I've just given up. I've tried and tried. That's the problem. It's about allowing God to get in our hearts and our minds, to fill it up with himself. And it's allowing his dynamite power, his explosive power, to work in and through us to give us a whole new perception. That's where life is. I'm not just blowing smoke today. I'm telling you, I've seen it, I've experienced it, I'm experiencing it, and I see others that are coming to a freedom by allowing God, surrendering to God, not just sin, and I'm not minimizing sin, but also self. You and I, we have the choice to take our thoughts captive and submit them to God's truth, to submit them to Jesus. So, is there something? Hey, Joe, look at my Bible. Briefcase. I think I have a Bible in there. I think it's a maroon one, if I'm not mistaken. It should be in the middle zipper. So I ask you, can the Holy Spirit point out, would you receive it constructively, if he point out something, a lie that is so rooted in your life, that path is so well worn that it's just, there's a deep rut and you can't seem to get out of it? Thank you. Okay, and the second thing I would come about that, if you allow the Holy Spirit to identify it or them in your life, then the second thing would be, what does God's truth say about it? Hey, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to go with? I want to go with God's truth, do you? I don't want my life and my family and my grandkids to be shaped by lies that I believe that the enemy has planted. I refuse to come in agreement with him. I want to be aligned with God's word. Isn't it interesting that as we talk about the armor of God, and most of us, if we've been in church, we've heard of those things. But I love it because in Ephesians 6:17, I just wanted to point this out today. All of these things have great merit and value for protection. But I love this. In verse 17, it says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And scholars point out this is true, that in this, and we know that a sword can be defensive, but it is the only offensive weapon listed in the armor. You got that? Some of us are just playing defense all the time. Defense can score every now and then, but you're not going to win games that way. You have to take the offense. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. We all have it. We all have access to it. And it's not something we have to go grappling for and looking for in the dark. We can draw from the reserves and the resources when it's in us. And the Holy Spirit brings it up and out at just the right time. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. How's that? Alive and powerful, the word of God. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. I mean, that sounds offensive to me. Cutting between soul and spirit, between join and borrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I can't remember, I wish I did, but I remember something, I didn't write it down, but they said, one of the best things you can do is about with a lie is to drag it into the light. I'm asking you today for that thing the Holy Spirit's pointing out. Allow the Holy Spirit to drag it into light and expose it to the light of truth, because truth exposes evil and darkness and lies. And it explodes it. I thought that was pretty good. Didn't you? Drag the lie into the truth of God's word. His divine power, 2 Peter 1:3, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness, as I read earlier. And we can declare, and you ought to journal and write declarations, but his strength is perfect, it's in me. I am a child of God, and that'll never change. I have the same spirit living in me that raised Jesus from the dead. He's given me everything I need for life and for godliness. God's truth will set me free. God's truth has set me free. It is setting me free, and it will continue to set me free. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He promised he will never leave me or forsake me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I can overcome by the blood of Jesus and by the words of my testimony. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes, God's truth has set me, is setting me, and will set me free. Any agreement out there? God's word is powerful. We heard it read recently, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's a lie. He said, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. I want the love, power, and sound mind. How about you? And I'm going to declare it, because what God says is so. The ungodly, as I read a few weeks ago, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Psalm 1. Replace those lies by dragging them into the light of truth with God's enduring, unshakable, never failing, right on time truth. In that devotional that I opened up with from Nikki Gumbel, there was another line. On down in the devotional, it went something like this. You get the wrong things out, the wrong thoughts out, by getting the right thoughts in. Huh? And you know what? This isn't just before you say yes to Jesus. I mean, that's the key. Some of us, we know about him, but we never said yes. I give you my sin and myself. Yes, I confess, I repent, I turn from, I'm turning to you. But I'm making a choice. And then you start filling up with God's word and godly influence and worship and all those things. And you know what? You can take something really polluted and it's all nasty. And if you press fire, start pouring for water in that, and you just let it pour in, it begins to purify and cleanse and wash away all the impurities. And that's exactly what the Spirit of God and the power of his word does in us. He'll transform your thinking. He'll transform your thoughts. He'll transform your heart. All you have to do is say, yes. And our prayer is, oh God, pour it on. Pour it in. I am a child of God. If that's not a positive idea, I don't know what is. I am who God says I am. My mama may have said I'd never amount to anything, but God said I would. I'm going with God and not mama. I know who I am because I know whose I am. Galatians 3:26 says it. For you are all children of God, not because you were created when you said yes to a relationship with him. That's transformation. I'm still talking about the power of biblical thinking and alignment that can correct, align, renew our thinking, and redirect our lives. That's the path to living transformed. Could I say this again clearly? It's impossible to live a spirit-filled, controlled, empowered life with a negative thought life going on that does not agree with God's word and attitudes. Look up. Our lives will begin to speak what our hearts, our thoughts are full of. I love this passage. 2 Timothy, I don't have that up there for you all. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me just read a few verses here as we close. Verse 14. Here's the answer to this change. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. I talked to Jaron and Haley about the importance of them teaching their kids. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Yes? You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. 17, it is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. That's the power of God's word. Not because I hold it, because it's holding me. Because it's in me. It's the foundation on which my life is built. It's the foundation on which we've chosen to raise our kids and now influence our grands and be his witness in this community. It is the unchanging word of God. Isn't it good to know in this crazy world that truth stands? God's word stands. Thanks, Andrew, for praying into my message today. Could I end with this? I've said it four times, but I really am done. Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, I get goosebumps when I read that because that's family language, you know. I love that. Don't you? Brothers and sisters, that's us. Does anybody remember in church ever growing up, we called Brother Ward and Brother Yates and Brother Sheldon? Does anybody remember that? Yeah. It seemed kind of corny, but not really. Fix your thoughts. In other words, that's not God's part, that's our part. Fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That only comes when we go palms up and say, Jesus, I'm all yours. I'm going to invite you to stand if you can, if you care to. We're going to just sing a simple little song about that surrender, about mine, take my mind. Think about his love. Right now, would you take a lie captive and expose it to the truth? Drag that lie into the truth. Say, God, this is what I'm feeling, what's been said to me, done to me, but I want to know your truth because your truth brings freedom, not people's opinions of me. And I'm going to go palms up right now. Confess that lie. Come into agreement with the Holy Spirit and replace it with God's unending truth. Say, God, begin to pour the truth of your word. Drag this into the light. Expose it for what it is. A lie meant to not only destroy me, but the generations that are following me. And I refuse to let that happen. So, Lord, we open up our hearts today. And as we do, the altars and the stairs are always open for prayer. I know we have things going, but there's nothing more important than this in these holy moments. These are holy moments of surrender where it comes down to this, either yes or no. To either embrace your word or stiff arm it and push it away. But we want to embrace you and hold you near and dear. So even as we sing this little song at the conclusion, could this be our testimony? Could this be our prayer as we identify that lie that the Holy Spirit's raised up and we say, God, I offer this to you. This is not your word. It's not true. I want to take it captive and expose it to your word.